And going to do a topical subject, and that is, are you serving God? I believe this message is for every individual in this fellowship, so we pray that everybody would listen to this message, and because it's going to be something really important for us, not only to know God, not only to have fellowship with God through Christ Jesus, but also to serve Him. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, Exodus 8, 1. God spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if you remember, in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, you will see how the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve them. The children of Israel were serving the Egyptians. You see this in Exodus 1:13. And we know that they were under the bondage of the Egyptians. They were under the bondage of the enemy, and they were in service to another power, and that is to Pharaoh. And here we see how God is telling Moses, now he wants to redeem them from the circular power, from the power of Pharaoh, and bring him to the power of God. And that instead of serving the enemy, now you can serve the living God. This is a transformation that is going to happen. Exodus chapter 9 verse 13 says, Exodus 9:13, Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. What we see here is a transformation is going to take place. From the power of Pharaoh, children of Israel are serving Pharaoh, and they are going to now serve God Almighty. So there is from one power to another power. Of course, we know in this transformation, children of Israel, they cannot do nothing on their own. God has to do a miracle first. And we know the miracles what God did. God did the initial work as He initiated, and He did the miracles, and He did it by His own power, He did the miracles. And we know all the miracles what God did, and how He subdued the enemy. And even on the Red Sea, how the enemy was drowned, and the children of Israel, they were able to walk on dry sand. And we can see the power of God. First, there was a miracle that was done. Then there was a transformation through that miracle, what God did. Now, that's a very good picture for us to first see and to understand. That's a foundational truth. When we see this foundational truth, it's that foundational truth is going to apply to every single true believer. Now, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 26. And here we see, starting from verse 17, remember there was a man who was against God. This man was, his name was called Saul. He was against God, he was against God's people, and he was showing his fist against God, and he was an enemy of God as he was hunting down the Christians, and his plan was to persecute and to kill the Christians. But of course, he was brought from that darkness to the light of Christ. Now, he didn't come on his own. God Himself intervened. And God intervened, and it was God who said, it was the Lord who said in verse 15, No, verse 14, he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister, a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom now I send you. The first thing is God is going to do a miracle in him. The miracle is going to be a rebirth, regeneration. He's going to come from darkness to the light. Not only that, with the miracle comes, he's going to serve God. And what is his ministry? Verse 17, to open their eyes in order to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Here we can see again a transformation, how a child of God can come from darkness, from one power, from the power of Satan to the light of Christ. Same picture what we saw in the book of Exodus, we see in the New Testament. Has to be a miracle from God. It's going to be a transformation. Satan's kingdom to the kingdom of God. Now, if you remember here, in the kingdom, there is a king. There is a ruler in a kingdom. You find satanic kingdom, the ruler is Satan and his demons are there. To turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus' ministry, why Jesus came. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now if you turn with me to Luke chapter 4:43, Jesus said, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I was sent. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is basically the same thing. And Jesus is saying, first, he needs to preach repentance, that people will come to where? To the kingdom of God, because they are where? In darkness. They are lost. They are in darkness. They are in another kingdom. And that kingdom is satanic kingdom. That's why Jesus came. This is his first message, that his ministry is to bring people from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. So there is a transformation. It's like a worm becoming a butterfly. That's a transformation, right? A worm to become a butterfly, that's a transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Means he's a new person in Christ. New creation altogether. All things have passed away. Every old thing have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything is new. Everything what you see, your attitude, everything is changed. It's new. Now, what is the result? It's a transformation coming from darkness to the light of Christ. When there is a transformation, when you become a new person, you're a born-again person, there is a result. Result is what? Before we used to serve the enemy. Now, we don't serve the enemy, but God. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says here, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. A servant, a slave of sin. We are no longer a slave to Pharaoh. Because God did a miracle. And old man is crucified. Your old self is crucified. Your old nature is crucified. Behold, you're a new person. Then it says, verse 7, for he who had died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And here we see the difference. Serve before we were serving idols. Now we are serving the living God. Before we were serving our own things, idolatry. Now we are serving the living God. There's a transformation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Well, I think this relates to all of us who are serving God, who are true Christians. We were serving idols. I remember when I was a Buddhist, I remember how I went and worshipped idols. I worshipped the elephant god. I worshipped all kinds of weird looking gods where I literally bowed down and worshipped. And I didn't have any common sense where, of course, my mind was totally blinded by the enemy, and I thought that I was really serving these gods. And today we see many people who are worshipping images. What about the other idols? Of course I have a lot of other idols. Idol means it's not only an image, not just a statue. I have a lot of idols. Of course, music was my idol. I have all kinds of Hollywood musicians that I love so much. I have their pictures everywhere. I adore them. I love them. They were in my heart all the time. I had sports. Man, I lived in sports. Without sports, I cannot, everything was so much concentrated, so much focus in sports. And I had my sports idols. They were my idols. And nobody could take away those things. And of course, the world that I loved so much, I was craving for those things which I couldn't. And I was thinking, one day I will have these things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of pride, and everything. Those were my cravings for the world. I was in darkness. I was lost. But there was a transformation. There was a miracle. The miracle was done not on my own. I came to God. God did a miracle. And the miracle was done. The first thing that happened in my life was I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking. I studied the Word. And I never touched the Bible for 25 years. I never knew what this book was. I never touched one. I never had a Bible in my house. Never. Suddenly, when I was saved, what happened was I studied the Word. I studied for, I'm not kidding, probably about 5 to 6, 7, sometimes 8 hours a day. I was just reading the Word. That's it. I was just reading. Reading. Because I was transformed. God gave me a thirst and a hunger. I began to put all what I studied, everything what I studied, I began to put it on paper. I want to write. So I wrote everything what I studied. I went to church. We were going to different kinds of churches, but at the end, God put me in one church because I was able to understand the Word. Then one day, I went to a growth class. In the growth class, the message was the message and the messenger. I never forget that. And this is in the evening. At the end, the pastor was telling me, you need to serve God. And at the end, one day, I wanted to speak to this pastor. I made an appointment on my own. And I said, I want to talk to you. And I went and sat and talked to him. And I showed all my notes, what I had written. And he said, you need to serve God. And I said, yes, that's what I want to do. He said, first, be an usher. And this is church, there were about 3,000-4,000 people. And me to become an usher, I was a very shy person. I don't want to talk with people. I don't want to greet people. I'm shy. My heart will come to my mouth when I come to people. But he said, that's where you need to start. You want to serve God. And I trusted in God. I started giving the bulletins. I began to greet people. And God did a miracle in me. I was able to come to people and talk to them. Then after that, he said, now you need to work in the nursery.
Nursery?
I don't like to work with babies, changing diapers, running after them. That is hard. Yes, it is. Well, I worked in the nursery more than a year. Every Friday I was there in the nursery. Then I knew, God, I need to do more. I want to do more. Then I became a home Bible study teacher. Then later on taught the new believers Bible study. Then later on became a counselor, became a missionary. And you can see there's a process. And we can see how God delivered us from the enemy's hand for a reason to serve Him. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 74. Luke 1, 74. Grant us and that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's why God called us. He called us to serve Him without fear, in holiness, in righteousness. So if you're truly saved, you will truly serve Him. But we know that many are invited. Many come to the church. But how many serve God? How many serve God? Only very few serve God. If you remember, children of Israel, how God delivered all of them from the hand of Pharaoh, from the power of Pharaoh, how God delivered them. Right? Many were called. But how many really served Him? We can remember, we know, in the wilderness, they perished. Because they were not obedient to God. They didn't serve God. Only a fraction, that only two people were able to enter the land of milk and honey. Because we know Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come to church. Many will gather to hear the word, but few will serve Him. Those few who are serving Him are the ones that God had effectually called. They are the ones who are truly being saved. That's an effectual call. Because effectual call is when God saves somebody, that person will serve Him. And effectual call is just like Paul. God calls him, they will serve. They will really serve the Lord. Just like all the apostles, if you remember, they all serve God except Judas, right? All the disciples, they serve God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's not the calling. Calling goes to everybody. But what is important is whether you're chosen or not. That is what is important. Many will tell that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? But are you chosen? Many are called and need to be busy for God. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke 19, 13. Jesus said, so He called 10 of His servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. Literally, it's what He's saying is, occupy till I come. Some of your Bibles will tell, occupy till I come. The word occupy, meaning like a trader doing business. A person who is going to do business, profitable business. That's what it means. Making a gain. making a profit. Of course, the Bible says that if you're a Christian, you are what? A servant. What does a servant do, basically? The word meaning of a servant is what? Serving God. That's what servant means. So everybody, we all say we are servants of God. But if you are a servant of God, you won't become like a master. You cannot be a servant for the enemy. You have to be a servant for God. And if you're a servant for God, you're serving God. How many say that they are servants of God? They have this concept of servants of God, but they are not serving God. Right? They are basically serving the enemy. Basically doing everything what the enemy wants, but not really truly serving God. They are being deceived by the enemy. They have no time to serve God. But Jesus said, occupy till I come. Meaning, you're laboring for God. You're winning souls for God. That's what it means. You're diligently working for God. Let me tell you something. A true servant, you don't have to tell that servant all the time, do this, do this, do this, do this. And many won't do until you tell them. And sometimes you got to tell them 10 times, 20 times. At the end, okay, I'll do it. That's not an obedient servant. A servant, a good, true servant of God is proactive. You know the meaning of proactive means? Means you don't have to tell to do it. You will do it before you tell. You don't have to be told every time, do this, do that. You're proactive. You will think ahead of time and will do it before somebody even tells. That's proactive. Proactive means if you see something, if you see the trash can full, you don't have to tell, can you put this trash into the trash? You don't have to tell that. It's common sense. Even the non-believers do that, so how much more the Christians should do, you know. I remember my dad, who is a Buddhist, that he had to borrow somebody else's car. And when he borrowed the car, before he gave the car back to that person, he washed the car so clean, he cleaned inside the car, and he gave it even better than he got the car. Now, he's not a Christian. Now, I'll tell you, there are some Christians who doesn't do that way. They even, you know, we cannot make God's name blaspheme against the among the Gentiles. How can you witness to people if you don't act right? And proactive means you do ahead of time. If you see a piece of paper, you pick it up. You don't have to tell that. Pick it up. Right? If you see something dirty, you clean it up. That is proactive. A servant of God is really love to work for the Lord. Not really greedy or selfish or thinking himself. That's not a servant of God. What is the motive then? Is our motives right? So these are really important things that we need to remember. A true Christian is a profitable servant. A profitable servant. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, this is a commandment for all Christians without any exception. Matthew 28, 18. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted when Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore is a commandment. It doesn't say, maybe you can go. It's a commandment. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the age of the even to the end of this age. This is a mandate. This is a commandment to give unto all servants of Christ. What is the commandment? To win souls. The commandment to go and make disciples, teach them. That's the commandment. Now, God is the one who can bring souls from darkness to the light. But God uses instruments as a means to do that. He uses the church as a means. And we are the instrument. God has not chosen the angels. He has not chosen any other being but the church to do that. And here, the commandment is given. And a lot of times, there are people who cannot go. If you cannot go, there are other ways that you can do. There are a lot of ways you can get involved in the ministry, but doing the same purpose. If you go into the battlefield, there are some people right in the front of the battlefield, but some people behind supporting them. But they're all in the one same boat with the same goal. There are doctors, there are nurses, all people, everybody goes into the battlefield. So all these people are involved, but they are like a team, doing the teamwork. It's the same thing here. And some can be missionaries, some can be pastors, some can be teachers. The Bible says God has, the Holy Spirit is given to all of us. And we need to see what gift that is given, and we need to use that gift for God's glory, for the Great Commission. And now, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. One day God is going to come. The Lord is going to come, and He is going to separate the true Christian and the false Christian. He is going to separate the goat and the sheep. And He is going to separate the profitable servant who was profitable in the kingdom of God and the unprofitable servant. He is going to come to settle accounts with us. To each one of us, we have to give our accounts. Now, see Matthew 25, 19. And it says here, after a long time, the Lord of those servants, everybody is a servant, right? Came and settled accounts to them. Those who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Remember, Jesus said, occupy till I come. And the word occupy means what? I told you, you are gaining something. You are going to be profitable in the kingdom of God. Here we see a servant. God has given him a talent. And that servant was profitable in the kingdom of God, right? Now, the next servant, verse 22, he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. Here, this servant was also profitable as a true servant of God. Then comes the hypocrite in verse 24. The servant who is lazy, did not do nothing for the kingdom of God. Very lazy. The lazy servant, verse 24, and he came and had received 1 talent and came and said, Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered the seed. The servant knew, but didn't do nothing. But I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there yours, what you have given. And he said, but the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I would reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered the seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine with interest. He was not gainful. was not profitable. It's a loser. He didn't do nothing. He was lazy. Was not proactive, right? Not proactive. Then God said, therefore, take the talent, what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know where that is. That's hell. And how many are deceived today by believing they are truly Christians? And if you're a true Christian, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, if you are saved by grace, verse 8 and 9 says, you are saved by grace, and verse 10 says, you will be a what? A workmanship for God. You are Christian. You will do works. But of course, first you are saved by grace. Verse 10. We always forget verse 10. We don't want to look there. That's kind of a hard one. Easy to say, I'm saved by grace, and to just stop there. Now, the question is, how long have you been a Christian? Personal questions are good. How long have you been a Christian? Second question, how is your growth? The third question, how is your service, your labor to the Lord? What are you doing? What are you doing? What is your ministry? What do? For the Lord? What kind of diligent work you do? What kind of profits you do in the ministry of the Lord? Are you involved in the ministry? Are you a profitable servant? It's something that you need to ask. It's something that, don't get upset with me. I hate this sermon. What time is this going to end? It's good because, I'll tell you, if you're not going to listen to me, you had to listen to God. This is the word of God. He's going to come and ask you one day. He's going to settle accounts with you. So it's better to be right now with me and to be more open-minded and to be, oh man, where have I been all this time? Right? I have been doing nothing, really. I have been really lazy. But I had a lot of time for TV. I have a lot of time for shopping. I had a lot of time for all the other things. For sports and everything. I had so much time for those things. But what have I done for God? Have you ever witnessed to anybody? Have you ever discipled anybody? As the word says, have you ever talked to somebody on the word of God? Are you like that person who received the one talent? You receive the word of God, then you go and bury your Bible in the ground. You just, you know, then the next time you bring it back again and come back and open it up. And then you say, I'm a Christian. Instead of doing nothing, what you hear, Jesus say what? If you are mine, come and follow me. Jesus said, follow me. I will show how to catch fish. Follow me. Deny yourself and carry the cross. That's what the Lord said. And John chapter 15, verse 1 says, John 15, 1, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. They are burned. Isn't this a very similarity to Matthew chapter 25, verse 19 to 30? Same picture, but different way of telling. But it's the same message, right? We are God's, we are in the vineyard, in God's, as His workers. We are the branches. The first thing is, if you need to be abiding in Christ. If you are not abiding in Christ, you cannot work for the kingdom of God. Abiding in Christ is to be in Christ. That means to get a thirst for His Word, to get strong and rooted in the Word of God, studying the Word of God in Him and having fellowship with Him. Then you want to serve Him. You want to do something for the Lord for all what He has done. You cannot just keep this Word buried. You cannot keep it buried. You got to do something. And if you don't do something, you feel miserable. I remember there was a time that I stopped my Bible studies. When I stopped it, I felt miserable. I said, something is wrong. Then I started again. And you will feel miserable if you don't do it. And of course, I didn't get paid. Nobody came and gave things for me to do for the Lord. Okay, I will give you this, now you work for the Lord. No. If you love somebody, you will do it on your own. It comes from the true, pure motive. Otherwise, you will be serving God with greediness for your own belly. There are people who would do like that too, to gain profit for their flesh. For their own selfish reasons, they will try to serve God. Their motives are not right. They're not really proactive for God. So we need to be profitable for what we do for the souls. Because I'll tell you, a lot of work we have. Everybody knows the work we have. We got a lot of work to do. And a lot of times I cannot keep on telling, do this, do that, do that. I like to see people doing things on their own, you know, doing on their own without telling, being proactive. They say, wow, this is neat. That's what is being a true servant of God. You don't have to tell to do this, do that. It needs to come with your own. If you pray hard, how many times we pray, God, use me as a servant. And if you're really praying to God, that then you're always thinking, you're meditating on how you're going to serve God, right? That prayer is in your heart, not coming and praying just one time and then forgetting what you prayed. A lot of people say, God, use me. Then they forget for the rest of the 5 days. God doesn't speak that way. Your prayers has to come with a pure motive heart, that you will be meditating on your prayers. Now I'll tell you, God will put something in your heart if you're always thinking that way. And that's why there are missionaries who go to different parts of the world, because God answered their prayers. And I know to be a missionary, because I have been a missionary, I know what it's to be really working in the front lines. And that's why we have a ministry that is totally focused on evangelism. And this vision that I have for evangelism, I like to just give it to everybody. So everybody will get the vision and say, wow, we want to work for God. There are very few people who will come and ask me, Nick, do you have anything that I can do for the service of the Lord? Very hard to find somebody. You don't hear people like that. Instead, people, they do their own thing. They come and listen. Many are called, but only few are chosen. So here, even we have a few people, God can turn the world upside down. Because only 12 people God selected, chosen. Not Judas, Paul instead of Judas. 12 people, 12 disciples. See, without any high technology during that time, without mass communication, the gospel went to the uttermost parts of the world. Without airplanes, without great ships, without telephones, without computers, without microphones. That shows if you are truly motivated to work for the Lord, God can do it. He can do it. That's the heart that the apostles had. They had a burning desire. They have a fervent spirit to take the gospel across. And they did. See how the gospel spread. That is amazing. Today, we have the computers. Today, we have high technology. Today, we have mass communication. Today, we have so much other power, instruments that we can take this gospel. But I'll tell you, people are lazy. The more that is given, the more they will become lazy. Unless God takes you and spank you hard. Get up! What are you doing? What have you been all doing all these days? You lazy servant, and get a spanking that really hurts you. And get a godly fear in front of you and see the powers of hell and the wrath of God that is going to come. And once you're awake, oh my goodness, what have I been doing for so many years? And here, I don't know what time I'm going to die. And then you have to be waken up. That's why Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper. Don't get drunk with wine. Get drunk with the power of God's Spirit. And once you're waken up, God, work for God. Let's pray.